Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I love this music.
It's the greatest intro for any guest by far. And everybody does love Raymond. Raymond Fittipaldo of the Post Gazette. Ray, you had a good story today on the Steelers' horrendous run defense. And Janet Butler's musings aside here, Ron and I just agreed that Art Rooney II should step in and make Mike Tomlin hire a coordinator from the outside, a defensive coordinator from the outside. Do you think Art Rooney II would do that? And do you think that that's the right thing to do?
Well, there's no question that, Art and Dan before him have either made suggestions or in some cases mandated some changes on the coaching staff. I don't know exactly what the dynamic is this year. As you know, Joe, there's a lot of injuries, that Mike and Keith are both dealing with this year. And I'm sure that plays into any decision that they will make after the season. So, if I had to guess right now, this might be Keith's last year to begin with. He'd have to hire a defensive coordinator anyway. But, given the injuries and everything that's gone on with COVID this year, I would say that, Art would give Mike the benefit of the doubt and, would have him hire whoever he wanted as the next DC.
But isn't Mike Tomlin the real defensive coordinator anyway?
Yes, he is. So, in that respect, what's changed over the last 3 to 5 years, I don't know exactly when, Mike took over the full-time duties. I really do believe Keith when he says it's a collective. They put the game plan together and things of that nature. But I don't know if Art would go that route. I think if Mike still wants to call the plays, that he will call the plays. But certainly what's going on now, certainly with the run defense, is not, in the Steelers' character. And I'm sure that's something – much like we heard with the offensive run game over the season, Joe, I'm sure that's something that Art will address after the season in one way or the other.
Raymond, you talk about the personnel. I'm starting to assume that Watt and Hayden aren't going to be there Sunday. And if that is the case, man, what kind of chances are they going to have?
Yeah, you never know with COVID, but TJ hasn't been here all week. Joe Hayden, haven't seen him the last 2 days, at least last week. I think I spotted Joe once, so we'll see what happens. I'm about to walk out to practice here after I'm done talking to you, so we'll see if Joe's out there today. But, yeah, looking like another game without TJ, another game without Joe Hayden. Just a team overall and certainly a defense that has been decimated by injuries this year, and they've just had a hard time filling in those roles with quality depth players. It just hasn't worked out the way they would have liked.
It just feels now like it's time for bigger questions. It just feels like even if they, of course, they could beat the Ravens. I mean, they've competed with them or beaten them with the likes of Dennis Dixon and Charlie Batch beat them as a backup once, and Byron Leftwich almost beat it. Steelers Ravens, but I just can't conceive of this team making any kind of meaningful run. Could I see it somehow sneaking in at 8-8-1 by miracle or something like that? Yeah, but Ray, this just feels like they're at a crossroads here. And it starts for me with the quarterback and the coordinators, the overall philosophy. It just feels like there's big questions out there. Do you agree?
I would agree, Joe. And I think if you look at this big picture-wise and, you know, you look what we were thinking back in August, this was going to be an offense that was going to be challenged no matter what. They were going to be playing with a 39-year-old quarterback. They were going to be playing with young linemen, and there was definitely a unit in transition. If there was any way that they were going to make a run at a playoff spot, I think we all knew it was going to have to come through a great defensive effort. You know, that unit once again was going to have to step up and sort of carry the team. And just with Stephon Tuitt being injured, with Tyson Alulu being injured, Watt in and out, Hayden in and out, you know, it's just been a really bad season for this defense too. So when you look at it from that perspective, really, Joe, the fact that they're 5-5-1 is even a little bit surprising considering they're 28th in run defense. Lately, they haven't been able to stop anyone. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't see things changing. You know, the final 6 weeks of the season, hey, anything could happen. But at this point, as we sit here right now, Joe, I would be surprised if they won more than two games here over the rest of the regular season.
Joe had a great column yesterday about the defense and the team in general. You know, people were talking about the effort wasn't good against Cincinnati. They didn't want it as much or something like that. The talent just isn't there, though, is it? Do you punish guys that can't do, you know, I mean, Taco Charlton can't be T.J. Watt, right? Is it fair to punish him for that?
Well, Ron, I'll give you a perfect example. Obviously, they don't think Isaiah Buggs is a starting caliber nose tackle, even though they rode with him for, you know, most of the last 2 months. So last week, they asked their all-pro defensive end to come inside and play nose tackle on the base. That doesn't work out. They get gashed. I mean, they ended up weakening two positions for the sake of one. And then this week, and we're going to talk to this guy after practice today, this week they picked up Montrevious Adams off the Saints practice squad. And based on my observations in practice the first 2 days of the week, it looks like he's going to start on Sunday. I mean, it's just that's wow. Where they are right now with his roster. You know, that's where they are. I mean, they're just kind of grasping at straws, trying to do whatever they can to be competitive. And I think that's the greatest example of kind of where they are roster-wise right now.
What about the players have said the practices have gotten tough. They put on the pads. The pads were a popping, if you will. I guess that's a normal coach's reaction, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ron, you know the way the CBA is. You know, you only have so many of those during the season, and I think they decrease in number as you get later into the season. So, I mean, that's another move you have in your pocket. They tried it. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I mean, like on Wednesday, they had their usual cast of characters who didn't participate. You know, if you're banged up, they're not going to throw you out there and get you more injured. So all these things on the periphery, you know, will they count on Sunday? We'll see. But it's going to come down to blocking and tackling, and can you contain Lamar Jackson? And when push comes to shove, you might be doing it with Henry Mondu and Taco Charlton and Derek Tuska rather than T.J. Watt and all the other guys you would rather.
What about Archibong?
Yeah, what about Archibong? How dare you not mention him?
Yeah, what about Archibong?
I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, I mean, I can go on and on and on. It could be Witherspoon. It could be Miles Killebrew. It could be any number of guys as they try to figure out something to sort of stop the sieve that their defense has become.
This is a disaster, Ray. Who's to blame for this? I mean, I get it. There were some things that happened that we couldn't have foreseen. Of course, the Stephon Tuitt situation is tops among them, and then there's an injury to Alu-Alu. But we're talking about the depth here. We're talking about bringing guys in off their couch on a Wednesday, and they're going to start on a Sunday. We're talking about Taco Charlton and Derek Tuska. I mean, they drafted a kid this year who should be an outside linebacker for them, right? They couldn't hold on to a guy that they made it a point to sign because they knew they needed depth behind Watt and Highsmith, and they let Ingram get away. Who's to blame for this mess?
Well, I mean, listen, Joe, I don't want to make excuses for anyone, but, you know, with the 8% decrease in the salary cap and the fact that Kevin Colbert and Mike Tallman have gone for it, you know, really in the twilight of Ben's career, all that does factor in. And, you know, people talk about, oh, well, you know, DeCastro and Steven Nelson were late cuts and, you know, you did have money to spend. In March, they didn't have money to spend. So the lack of quality depth is really showing right now. And you see it at several positions. You know, we just talked about the D-line and outside linebackers, but there's not a lot of depth in that secondary either. You know, James Pierre.
Isn't that their fault for bad drafting? Every single level of the defense, it would seem to me. You mentioned Bugs. We looked at Quincy Roche. They didn't want to hold on to him, apparently. In their secondary, they draft a bunch of stiffs.
Okay, well, Isaiah Bugs, sixth-round pick. Quincy Roche, sixth-round pick. James Pierre, undrafted free agent. I mean, it's just the reality, Joe, when you cannot build your roster. I mean, you need guys like that to pan out, but you can't necessarily count on them to be your main guys. And I just think all the injuries have caught up with them. I think in a perfect scenario, Joe, if they had minimal injuries this year, let's say T.J. Watt played all 16 games. Let's say Tua played all 16 games. I still think we're talking about like a 9-8 or at best a 10-7 football team. I mean, they have a lot of high salaries. You know, Ben still counts a lot against the cap. T.J. is going to count a lot against the cap. I mean, they have some high salaries, and they don't really have the wherewithal the way their team is structured right now to have that quality depth. And I know that's going to change when Ben comes off the books, but, you know, Minka's going to come on and make more money. They got to find ways, more creative ways to get more quality depth on this team. I know the salary cap's going to be better next year, but you're still going to have to find a way to get better, cheap players. I just don't think they have a lot of good, cheap players right now.
Ray, you'll always be able to second guess. We always will. As you look back on it, were they smart to take a running back in the first round and a tight end in the second when they have other needs?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. I think those guys are two building blocks to what you hope are going to be better teams in the future. And they just have to go out in free agency now, and you have to get some offensive linemen. And in the draft, you know, probably in the first or second round, you got to go out and get a high-caliber offensive lineman to sort of transform that unit so that unit is better next year. But I have no problem with taking Najee Harris. I think he's a really good football player right now, and he's going to be even better in the future. And I think the same thing about Pat Freiermuth, too. I know a lot of people like to talk about, you know, why didn't you take an offensive lineman in the first round? But all the really, really good ones at that point, Ron, were gone, and I think – you can make the same argument in the second round, too. Maybe you take the kid, Creed Humphrey, out of Oklahoma over Freiermuth. But like I said, I don't have an issue with it. I think now for Colbert, go out, address it in free agency, address it in the draft, too, so those guys can really do damage like they can in 2022 and beyond.
Ed Bouchette was on with us yesterday, and he feels like Najee has hit the wall a little bit here his last four games. Not a lot has happened for him. You agree with that?
How can you tell? I mean, the offensive line hasn't blocked for him the last 2 weeks. What do you have, 17 or 18 carries over the last two games? I mean, I can't tell if he's hit the wall or not. They haven't been getting the ball to him, and they've been in some games where they've had to go away from the run pretty early. And when you're playing catch-up, you're not going to be handing the ball off to Najee Harris. You know, it's probably not going to change this week, guys. I mean, the Ravens aren't a great defensive team, but they're pretty good against the run. So if I'm Matt Canada, if he's not effective as a runner, I try to get him more involved in the passing game. If you look at early in the season, even when they weren't running the ball well, he was really good as a receiver out of the backfield. And even in these last two games, that kind of hasn't been there. So I would look to get him involved no matter what, but I'm not, you know, we still have 6 weeks to go. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's hit the rookie wall just because his offensive line has faltered in the last 2 weeks.
Ray, you mentioned the Ravens. Are they that good as their record, or are they awfully lucky?
I think a combination of both. I think good teams find ways to win. I think I've said this before. This Ravens team reminds me a lot of that 2017 Steelers team that went 13-3. I mean, that team won a lot of games at the end of regulation or in overtime. And I forget what their record was in three-point games, but they were really, really good. That's what this Ravens team is. I mean, they've been decimated by injuries, but they find ways to win. I give John Harbaugh a ton of credit. I give Lamar Jackson a ton of credit for doing what he's done without his first and second string running back. So, yeah, I think they're a good team. Am I going to pick them to win the Super Bowl? No. You know, I think they're probably going to suffer the fate that 2017 Steelers team did. They're probably going to be a higher seed that probably isn't going to be as good as their seeding would indicate. But I give them all the credit in the world for where they are right now based on what's happened to them throughout the course of the season.
Ray Fittipaldo on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates Fan Text Line at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And the time right now, 11:15, you can save time, money, and get a cash offer with the Home Buyers of Pittsburgh. Call 412-500-9057. Ray, I'm assuming you're ready for a little game of free association, are you?
Favorite part of my Friday.
He doesn't even ask if it's okay with me because he knows how much I love it.
Exactly. Let's go. You ready?
Ready.
Ryan Clark today on Ben Roethlisberger, and I quote, "I owe my Super Bowl ring to Ben. With all that being said, time is up. It's time to move on. Big Ben is hurting this team right now. It's time for Big Ben to take a seat." Agree or disagree?
He certainly hurt him against the Bengals. I mean, I think it's coming to that anyway. I don't think he's going to play in 2022, but let's also realize that he was pretty darn good before the Bengals game, and still might have something left, but I don't think he's going to be here in 2022.
Steelers slipped to, let's say, 5-8-1. Would it be prudent for them to sit Ben then and see what a little more what they have in Mason Rudolph and or Dwayne Haskins, yes or no? And do you think they would do that?
No, I don't think it would be prudent. I think you could find that out later. And also, no, I don't think the Steelers are going to do that, I think. They have too much respect for Ben, and I think they'll let him play it out the way he wants to play it out.
Oh, for God's sakes, Ron. Really? They have too much respect for Ben, Ray? So why should he get to play the last three games if he's stinking up the joint? Just as a favor to him?
Do you really think playing Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins in three games is going to make you a Super Bowl contender in 2022?
Where did that come from? God, no. I don't think that would happen. But we had Ed Bouchette and Dulac both saying yesterday, I believe, that they think Mason Rudolph is going to be their guy next year. He's going to be the starter. Why wouldn't you want him to gain some experience and get in the games?
I just think they know what he is, Joe. I mean, I don't think him playing in three games at the end of December or the beginning of January is going to really make him all that much better of a quarterback in 2022. So
the free association has gone off the rails,
it
Ron.
Did. You took it off the rail. Ray answered, followed protocol, and then you took it off the rails.
I just think that with that young offensive line, if he's your guy, get him in there. Get three games to me, four games would be a huge deal for me if that's my guy. I don't think he should be. I hope he's not, but if I was the Steelers and I'm saying Mason Rudolph, we're moving ahead with him, then I would say get him in there. But we can agree to disagree, Ray. What did you think of Brian Kelly suddenly talking in a Southern accent last night?
I heard about that, and I saw a little clip. So, yeah, a little bit weird. Isn't he from, like, Massachusetts or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. Was it bad? Was it real forced?
I think we're going to hear it at some point. Okay. It was embarrassing. It was really, really bad. Is Zach Banner going to play at all this year?
He's been sick the last 2 days, Joe. This is a perfect week to get him into the lineup. But, hey, never say never. But I don't think he's going to play this week because he's been ill the last 2 days.
Thank you, Ray.
Not quite yet, Ray. Not quite yet. Okay. We need a little prediction here.
Oh, I forgot the
prediction. We need a little prediction. Do you give the home team much of a chance? Who you picking, and what is the score going to be?
I have been called many things by Steelers fans, and Homer is not one of them this year. I am going to go Ravens 35, Steelers 16. Just think the injuries, the COVID situation, it's all going to catch up to them, and I don't see them putting up much of a fight.
Now, that's not a 31-point loss, but that's still a blowout loss, Raymond.
It is. It is. We'll see if the Steelers can keep tradition and play one of these three-point games against the Ravens, Ron, but I just don't see it.
Tell me again before I let you go what the situation would have to be with T.J. Watt. Like, what's the latest that we could find out that he could play?
Test negative twice in a 24-hour period. So, I mean, there's a chance that he could not practice today, but test negative and then test negative again on Saturday and be all set to go. And I think they would play TJ in that situation, but the fact that he hasn't practiced all week, I haven't even seen him, Joe. Unless he tests negative today and tomorrow, he's not going to play on Sunday.
Well, I mean, just trying to, from following at the time frame that Ben was on, I think he was diagnosed on a Saturday and then had to go a full week before he got cleared to play. And TJ was, what, diagnosed on Monday. I don't see how he's going to be able to play.
Yeah, it all depends on, you know, when you're tested, when you had symptoms, when you actually had it. But all these cases are different. But all those guys, Ray McLeod, Ben, Minka, they all missed at least one game. And I don't think it's going to be any different with TJ this week.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Talk to you next
week. See you, Raymond.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ron, did you happen to see social media explode last night after the Brian Kelly pep rally at LSU saying, wait a second, now you're not going to hear, this isn't going to be like, you know, a deep Southern accent, but people played him saying like the word family a week ago at Notre Dame compared to the way he said it in front of the LSU people. And it seems clear he altered his accent. And he's also just an unlikable sort, is he not?
He's always been an unlikable sort. For me, I mean, I didn't like him when he was at Cincinnati. I didn't like him when he was at Notre Dame, and I'm sure I'm not going to like him down there. Sounds like he's just doing his part to try to fit in with those LSU types.
He said, I haven't even won all of my games yet. You think Nick Saban will get a hold of that quote? I never thought I would be actively rooting for Nick Saban in Alabama, but when they play LSU, I will have an Alabama shirt on rooting for them. And he still hasn't won a national title, by the way.
No, he hasn't. I remember seeing that documentary on Notre Dame earlier this year where he said, I want a statue outside of Notre Dame Stadium. And he goes, I know I got to win a national title to get that statue. He ain't getting a statue at Notre Dame.
I don't think he's getting one at LSU either.
I don't. Three coaches there have won one.
Exactly.
Right?
So we'll see if he can measure up. It'll look bad if he doesn't win one. It'll look bad if he goes there and says, I haven't even won all my games yet. Let's take a listen to this, Ron. See if we can detect it. I don't know if it's obvious or not, but let's take a listen.
LSU!
Join in, Ron.
LSU!
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger.
Oh, come on,
Tiger.
Ron. It's a great night to be a Tiger.
So be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
A tiger is the one that got me there.
Yeah.
And I know it's basketball, and this is an exciting basketball team.
Yeah, we can skip it from here, Horse. You sensed it, right?
Yeah.
In there? A little bit?
Playing up to the crowd.
His dad was a politician. I never knew that until I read it today.
Most coaches are politicians, too, aren't they?
Used car salesmen, politicians, absolutely.
In one way or another, I think just about all of them are.
Yes. This guy took off on Cincinnati.
I'm a tiger. I'm going to be a tiger.
Oh, is he a beauty? I hope he loses and loses big.
Yeah, except he's not going to ever lose going to the bank, though, is he?
No, he'll never lose at that again.
He'll never, really. Not that he was losing before, but he'll never lose now.
10 years, 80, 95 million?
I thought it was, yeah. Right around the same thing for old Mel Tucker.
Mel Tucker? That's an incredible contract.
At least Brian Kelly's won some games. I mean,
that's James Franklin unbelievable
to me. Has won some games. What has Mel Tucker done? One year, one good year.
10 years, 95 million. All right, Ron.
I did see did you see the clip about the new Notre Dame coach? They had a guy, I don't know, must have been an assistant coach, talking to all the players. They're kneeling there, and, you guys have fought through adversity and blah, 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 blah. Goes on for like 2 minutes, and he goes, and now it's time to introduce you to your new coach. And the guy comes running in and like almost does a body surf into the players. They're rah, 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 rah. They're all cheering for him. It's pretty cool to see.
I haven't seen that.
It's pretty cool to see.
What I did see once was the most incredible introduction of a new coach ever, and that was Kevin Stallings at Pitt, was it not? Were you there that day?
No, I was not there. I read about it.
Thank your lucky stars.
I think that was the day that people apologized for the media, right? That the questions and tone that they asked him was pretty bad from what I heard.
Yes. Well, the first bad thing was to have cheerleaders and a band at a introductory news conference.
Right.
I mean, it was really embarrassing. And then his family sitting there. And then, the hard questions came. And it was amazing. But to have a band playing when he...
Isn't that normal? I've seen that before.
It?
I think so.
Was and there cheerleaders?
What was that
he
last
walks
night?
Through
was that a
cheerleaders.
Was that a basketball game last night that Kelly was at?
Yeah, but that's not an introductory news conference.
That's what I was just trying to clarify.
I think the two should be separated. You can have your pep rally and then in a different room have your news conference, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably not true. Cheerleaders there.
I was not there at that Stallings. I never met Kevin Stallings. Never went to one of his games.
Scott Barnes introduced him that day, Ron. Said that the sky was the limit for them.
It was the sky was a limit, all right. Cloudy skies, rainy skies, stormy skies.
And yet I still maintain if he had stayed, he would have probably the same record and would be in the same shape as Jeff Capel. Like the program hasn't moved forward an inch, right?
Maybe backwards an inch or two.
I mean, it's incredible.
It is. It is. I was not at that Stallings one.
I'll never forget that one. Oh, you were at the most incredible one. I wasn't. What's his name? The Pitt football coach.
Todd Graham.
No, that one was amazing.
Oh. Michael Haywood.
Haywood.
I've never been to one like that.
Tell me about that one.
He never smiled one time. Like Steve Peterson is introducing him, our next football coach. This was after they forced out Wani, which I had no problem with. They bring in this guy. He was as dour. He never once smiled. He never made you feel like, man, this guy's got he's got his dream job here. Never once. And he lasted a week or whatever. Was involved with an alleged domestic incident.
The Crist introductory news conference and the Graham first news conference, they should be like played back to back. You had one guy who was promising the world.
Right.
And then you had Paul Crist who made Belichick look like
didn't have a pulse, you know.
No pulse whatsoever.
None.
Wani came in and was very smooth. I remember he had his Super Bowl ring.
And it was easy for him because he was a Pitt guy.
He won the opening news conference.
He was a Pitt guy. The other guys weren't.
Paul Crist sort of won, except if you watched that and got excited about Paul Crist, I don't know what you were thinking. Todd Graham, I remember writing the next day, I don't trust this guy one bit. A lot of people thought he won that news conference. I didn't. Michael Haywood, a decisive loss.
Oh, my God. I've never been to one like it.
Kevin Stallings lost that one. The equivalent basketball score would have been 98-10. He lost his introductory.
How about Capel? I wasn't there for that one.
The Capel one was impressive, and it was a big deal. And I thought he won that day.
I thought they
hasn't won many times since.
They saved the pro. Who was the guy they wanted? Hurley.
That
ended up going. Where'd he end up to? Where'd Hurley go? Not Rhode Island or somewhere.
Maybe. Yeah, something like that. Connecticut. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I think it was Connecticut that they wanted him and they didn't get him. And I'm thinking, who's going to take the job? And then Capel, I'm thinking, this is good. I want to coach K's right-hand man.
Incredibly impressive. And still impressive guy. It's just the results aren't happening.
The results haven't been very
What about the Tomlin introductory? Were you there?
I would have been, yeah. He was so young. It's just so young. That's the thing. What was he, 34, 33 when he took that job? That's the only thing I can remember.
And then there's been 27 hockey introductories. The one I'll never forget, and it wasn't even a news conference, really, was Yvonne Hlinka. I left saying, listen, if I were in another country, I know I wouldn't know their language, but is it going to be a problem that he can't speak English? Is that going to be problematic here? I mean, it was incredible.
It was. I think, you know, the first year they sent him home and told him to learn English, and he came back and he hadn't, and that's when they fired him 4 games into the season.
Yes.
Right? Who gets fired 4 games into a season?
Four games.
But I think that was because he made no effort to learn English.
Call me crazy, but I think that would be important for communication purposes.
So do I.
Now these are all flooding back to me. My first assignment as a Penguins beat writer was to cover the Kevin Constantine news conference. He was impressive.
He was.
And had a pretty good first year.
Players didn't like all his meetings and film
no,
studies
they did not.
And everything else, though. I know that.
They revolted. Yeah, the first day Yager came out, he made him go back in the locker room and put on shoulder pads and a helmet. And Yager did not like that.
I don't think any of them liked the film study. Wasn't Mario saying I would never play for this guy or something?
Did he say that?
I think so.
Any other ones spring to mind, Ron? Walty's first news conference,
Herbie
Johnny
Brooks,
Majors too.
I remember Herbie Brooks.
That was a great one.
Taking over, but he could, I mean, literally walk on water, which he did, you know, with the Olympic team. I mean, I just remember being and so impressed by him. But he never wasn't meant for the pros. He was always a big believer the name on the front of your sweater is more important than the name on your back. And
yeah.
He didn't like Yager. He didn't like Barrasso.
Funny how Yager's name keeps coming
up.
He
didn't like those guys.
No, his opening news conference was a passive-aggressive one shot after another at Kevin Constantine. Remember, he said, we're not going to skate backwards like Peggy Fleming.
Right, right.
Tremendous.
Right. He was good.
All right. Let's look at the college football schedule this weekend. Next, if you could watch one game outside of Pitt Wake Forest, which is going up against Michigan, Iowa, what's the
easy
one game?
Call. Maybe. Easy call.
Maybe.
For me. Easy
All right.
Call.
I'll ask you next. 93.7 The Fan is your chance to win tickets to the recently announced return of Billy Joel to PNC Park, August 11, 2022. Tickets on sale right now. Details at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Fan hotline presented by Nemacolin around every corner. Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests, and you can watch live video of what's going
everybody.
On in the studio. We're fitting horse for new horseshoes today. He's very excited. Take a look at 93.7thefan.com and go to live video.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Ron, we have Johnny McGonigal, a.k.a. John Football, coming up at the top of the hour. But in the meantime, I want to ask you about a gigantic day and night in college football, and that'll be Saturday. I'm looking forward to this. Where am I going to be Saturday, Ron?
It actually starts tonight.
Sort of, if you like that game, yeah.
The Pac-12, right?
Yeah,
Utah and Oregon.
That's interesting.
I mean, it gets started tonight, but what do you got going tomorrow? Are you going to be able to watch these
games? I was just trying to think. She has a basketball game at 4:30. That shouldn't be a problem. Those only take an hour. I've got the whole day to watch college football, Ron. Now, the games are, yes, we have the game tonight, Oregon-Utah, and then we have Baylor-Oklahoma State, number 9 against number 5 at noon tomorrow. We have Georgia-Alabama at 4, Houston-Cincinnati at 4, Michigan-Iowa at 8, Pitt-Wake Forest at 8, and then the late game that nobody cares about, USC against Cal. So other than Pitt, is it an obvious choice which one you're watching?
Yeah, it is an obvious choice.
Are you going to watch it?
It is an obvious. Well, I'm going to be in Charlotte, I guess. What time? Alabama-Georgia.
4.
Me. I'll probably be able to watch at least the second half from the game in Charlotte. I just noticed, Joe, I didn't put that on our list of games to pick. That's ridiculous. We got to put that on.
Got to add that.
Yeah.
What is the point spread in that game?
I don't even know. I'd have to look. Because I didn't write it down.
Can you look while I entertain the masses? I'm very curious about that game.
I believe it is the first time. I thought I read that this is the first time in since like 05 or something that Alabama has been an underdog. It is never. I don't know if I'm exaggerating, but it's been a long time.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the obvious game. But I'll tell you what, Houston-Cincinnati intrigues me. The Fighting Dana Holgersons against Cincinnati, I think they have a real shot to end their dream season. And I think it would be only fitting if they did, quite frankly, because they don't belong.
Georgia, a 6.5-point favorite over Alabama.
See, I look at that the way I look at Belichick, why I bet on him this year. I'll take Saban in those points every day of the year, Ron. You won't? Well, we'll see at 1:45, right?
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't put that down on our list, but it's 6.5. That's a pretty big line.
I'll take Saban. I'm telling you that right now in advance of our picks. But Cincinnati, I'm very curious to see what happens to them against Houston, the number 21 team in the country. Dana Holgorsen, I root for that guy, don't you?
Yeah, he was a character. You know, West Virginia had the most fun coaches. I don't know if they were the best coaches, but when they had Holgorsen and Huggins down there, there's nobody you'd rather go out and have a beer with than those two.
How about Michigan, Iowa?
I think Iowa's going to probably give them a tougher game. I don't think Michigan's going to play as well as they did against Ohio State last
week.
Man,
it's tough to bounce back.
I think Michigan wins the game.
I just have a problem with the whole setup, even though I enjoy watching it. Like, Michigan's season was last weekend. They proved to me that they're the team that should go from the Big Ten. Now they got to come back in what is essentially a made-for-television special.
Right.
And one game, and they have to win, don't you think? Or they're not going. I mean, I suppose there are some scenarios by which they could go.
I guess if Cincinnati would lose.
Cincinnati and Oklahoma State both lose, which is possible.
See, I think the Oklahoma State game is going to be entertaining. Baylor. Baylor's a good team.
But Notre Dame would probably jump ahead of Michigan then. What about them?
You would think. Who, Notre Dame?
Yeah.
But they don't play this week, so.
That might be good for them.
They can't add to their resume.
Or lose from it.
You got to check out the video of the coach going in and meeting the team. It was pretty cool.
Notre Dame, I think. I will do that. Notre Dame gets off lucky, I think, in that scenario, in all these scenarios. It does more good than bad for them not to have to risk themselves in a conference championship. I mean, obviously, they go almost every year. So they're sitting here. This is what I don't like, Ron. This is what I don't like. Michigan, Alabama, and Oklahoma State, and Cincy, for that matter. Or is that a championship game or just a regular game?
Which one?
The Cincinnati-Houston
conference
game.
Championship.
But it's at Nippert Stadium. You get a home game over there, huh?
I don't know.
You've been to Nippert Stadium, haven't you, Ron?
I've been there many times.
They serve pizza.
You know,
there,
when
remember?
I was down seeing Bob Huggins a month ago now, he was at Cincinnati all those years. He was very adamant. He said they should build a statue of me outside of Nippert Stadium. He said, because all our basketball money went to the football program. He said, I'm the one responsible for the updates of that.
I love that.
I know it's a conference championship, I guess, because they have the best regular season record.
So all those teams play a 13th game, putting themselves on the line while Notre Dame sits at home. And it could easily happen that Oklahoma State, Cincy, Alabama, and Michigan all lose, but they probably only need two of those teams to lose. Right. I don't like it, Ron. I don't like it one bit. Do you?
No, but I'm rooting, and part of me's rooting for Notre Dame here. I'd love to see them make it after Brian Kelly leaves them. I would almost find that to be poetic justice. And I never am one to really care. I don't care.
I'm thinking about
really
that now.
To really root for Notre Dame.
Do you think, though, he would get credit for that if they go and win? Or would it look horrible for another coach to do what he couldn't?
I don't know how that would work. I guess.
I think if the new guy comes in and wins the national title and Kelly never could, he looks horrible. So I'm rooting for it too.
That's what I'm thinking. That would be great.
And then you have anybody else with a realistic chance? I mean, what if everybody else loses?
Now,
Ohio State still get in?
We've covered all.
What if Michigan gets blown out by Iowa? Do you put Ohio State ahead of Michigan? I don't think that'll happen, but what would you do?
I don't think it would matter because I think a Notre Dame would jump ahead of them, both of them, if that's the case. See, the big game is Alabama-Georgia. If Alabama wins, they both go to the tournament.
Yes.
Georgia can lose 100, and that's what this Brett McMurphy told us the other day.
Yeah.
They could lose 100-0.
Right.
And they're still in the tournament. The only way to guarantee the second SEC team is for Alabama to beat Georgia.
What do you want to happen?
I'm in the minority here. I think Alabama's one of the better teams. I'd love to see them and Georgia both. I would love to see I can't pull for Michigan ever. You know, I guess Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, maybe. I can't.
Can you even?
I can't pull for those.
I know. I'm with you on that. Can you even conceive of the fact, and it's true, that we actually should be going into this weekend wondering if Pitt's going to the college football playoff?
They'd be
Brett McMurphy the other day said at 11-1, they'd be 8 or 9. At 12-0, they'd be ahead of Cincinnati. Right. They would be number four in the country.
Right, they would be. But they're not.
Do you think they would be, or do you think that that the Cincinnati sort of vote, them being there, is a reaction to all the criticism about the little guy never having a chance? Do you think a team from the ACC, if Pitt were 12-0, would they be ahead of Notre Dame and Ohio State?
I think so. Even with their schedule being ridiculously easy, I think 12-0 would put them right there near the top.
Can you imagine if that's all we'd be talking about this week? The Steelers would be taking a back seat, honestly.
Can they make it to the tournament? Yep.
Ron, why didn't it happen?
Huh? Western.
They were
Michigan
a 9-point favorite and a 15-point favorite at home.
And they lost to both. Yep.
I give them a lot of credit. I do. They navigated their way to the ACC title game. But I can't believe I would be alone in sitting here wondering what might have been and, frankly, what should have been. You can't lose home games when you're 9 and 15-point favorite.
Especially to Western Michigan. That one's hard to swallow. It is.
Can you imagine? If Pitt was getting ready to line up with Georgia in the first game?
No.
Of the college football playoff?
No, I can't imagine.
You know how
imagine.
Close we were to having that happen?
I can't imagine that, but it would be interesting to think about.
A couple plays is how close we were, I'll tell you. All right.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.